Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 694. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26, we read these words. It said this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone came after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?'" These are powerful words from our Master, and looking forward to hearing what his word has to say to us today. God bless.
I usually find that when you do that with those four-wheel things that you hop behind the wheel of, I usually get the worst end of the trade. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life or not, but nonetheless, want to make a trade? But you know, the reality is that there are a lot of people who trade and they really lose out on the trade. Do you want to make a trade? I look at politicians who are willing to trade their integrity for position, and how sad that is. I see a lot of actors and actresses and musicians who will trade their honor for popularity. And how sad that is. Jesus offers us a trade. He offers us the gift of eternal life. But we got to make a trade. And the trade is, we have to give to Him our lives totally and completely. And He can take out of us all of the junk. And He trades with us by giving us eternal life. You know, that's an amazing trade that God gives. We who were broken, we who were lost, we who are individuals that spiritually we really have no value, but God reaches down and He makes us people of worth and people of value. By giving to us His Holy Spirit, by giving to us forgiveness, by giving to us hope, by giving to us a promise of eternal life in His kingdom forever. And what do we give Him? Just what we are. I know me, and Jesus is getting the short end of the stick on this one. You know you, and Jesus is getting the short end of the stick. But you know what? He's not concerned with short ends. He's concerned with giving life, and with giving hope, with giving peace, with giving joy, with giving forgiveness, with giving Himself. Look at this couple of verses of Scripture again in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 36. And I want you to see this revelation that Jesus makes about His reward. "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me.'" deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I ask you again, do you want to make a trade? You see, folks, God offers to us everything, absolutely everything. Everything that is His, He offers to us. We just give Him who we are. That 25th verse talks about the process that's involved. He says, if anyone will come after me, let him, number one, deny himself. You see, we are, in sinful lives, we are self-centered. The universe revolves around us. And in order to have life, we've got to reach the point where we deny that. And we say, you know what? It's really not about me. Lord, it's really about you. And we have to be willing to set aside who we are in order to become who He wants us to be. Let Him deny Himself. Take up his cross, die to selfishness and self-centeredness and self-will, because you see, the cross is an instrument of death. It's where we die out to our passions in order that we might live to His. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. To follow Him means to live according to His Word, according to His will, according to His way. To live in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And to set aside our ambitions in order to accomplish His will. You want to make a trade. I'm going to tell you, if you choose to not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're making a trade with the devil himself. And that trade is going to lead to a place of eternal punishment, to a place of eternal pain, to a place of eternal separation from anything that's good. But if you make the trade with God, your life for His, you win. Because He has promised you heaven, a place where there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no sadness, a place where no one will ever get sick, a place where there'll be no wars, a place where there will be no death, there'll be no suffering. A place where there will be no sickness of any sort, but eternal health, eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal love. Now, do you want to make a trade? Do you want to get away from the promise of eternal separation in a place of suffering and sorrow and get traded into the kingdom and the family of God where you can have life? And where you can have joy and peace forever. You want to make a trade. I want to share with you how you can make that trade, and I'll try to do this very briefly. The very first step in making this trade is recognize. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Look around this room. Every individual here, including me, has fallen short of God's glory. We have committed sins in our lives. And we need to recognize that when we have committed sins, that separates us from God. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us, and the wages of that sin is death. It is eternal separation from God and from all that is good. That's what we've earned. We need to recognize we are the guilty party, not someone else. We have a great tendency to do that, don't we? Well, I did this because of my friends who enticed me to do this. No, you did that because you succumbed to the pressures and the power of sin. Folks, it's time to get honest. No one else makes you sin. You sin by choice. For he that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Not a one of your friends is going to answer for your sinfulness. Only you. We need to recognize that. We are going to be held accountable. Very first step in receiving hope is to recognize we're guilty. And we're guilty of sin. And recognize that that will separate us from God. The second thing is that we must realize that we are lost. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John. Whoops, I'm looking at the Gospel of John. I don't want to be there. 1 John chapter 5. I want you to notice verses 11 through 13. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, there is a knowledge that is innate in each and every one of us. And that knowledge is, first of all, if I'm a sinner, if I'm not living for God, if I've not received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm lost. And if I'm lost, I've got no hope of a future. I've got only certain punishment coming. We need to realize that. The hope is that if I give my life to Jesus Christ, I'll have hope. And that hope is, oh man, I hope I make it to heaven. 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 That's not hope. That's junk. Hope is that which promises us eternal life in Jesus Christ. Eternal life. That's hope. So we need to realize that we are lost. and that we have sinned and that that sin has separated us from God. And the third thing is we need to repent of our sins. Repent of our sins. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 for just a moment. Verses 46 and 47. Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to the Father. The resurrection has taken place. He has revealed himself for approximately 40 days over and over and over. He has taught again. He has confirmed many, many things to his followers, to his disciples. He has just revealed absolutely everything. They've gone to the hilltop. He's getting ready to go back to Dad. And he gives them what is called the Great Commission. All right? And he opens their minds, according to verse 45, so that they can understand the Scriptures. And now look at verses 46, 47. And this he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Beginning from this very area, the gospel is to be presented to all the world, and that people can find life, and they can find life through repentance. Repentance, you see, is a godly sorrow for the sins we've committed. In fact, sorry enough that we're willing to leave a sinful life and enter into a relationship with God that honors Him. We're willing to turn our backs on sin in order that we might have salvation. Repentance. To make an about face, to go a new direction. Too many people try to get into heaven without repenting. Doesn't work that way. Simply doesn't work that way. Repent. Repent. Be genuinely sorry as you realize that you have sinned, as you recognize that sin has separated you from God. It's time to repent of your sins so that you can enter into a relationship with Him. Number four, you need to receive if you're going to make the trade. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name." Receive Jesus Christ. You receive Jesus Christ by believing who He is. Who is He? He is God. He is God. And you must believe that He is truth. And you must believe that all of the things that He shared are absolute truth. And when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but through me," we've got to accept that. We've got to believe that if we're going to have hope. And if we believe that, we can open our hearts up to receive Him as our Savior, have the promise of eternal life. Do you want to make a trade? If you want to make a trade with God, you got to do it His way. There is no other way. It must be by God's truthfulness, not by man's deception. I don't mean to offend, but probably will. But I want to tell you something, folks. Those who tell you that salvation is through the church are lying. I remember when Pope Benedict, was elected to popehood, popedom, to being the Pope. His very first message from the platform there at the Vatican was this: we need to restore that salvation is through the Catholic Church. No. Benny, you got it wrong. Salvation's not through the church. Salvation's through Christ and through Him alone. There's no other way to have life but to go through Jesus. It doesn't matter what the moniker above the door is. What matters is who dwells in the heart. For there is salvation by no other than by Jesus. He and He alone has the power to forgive. He and He alone has the power to change. He and He alone has life. There's no other way. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, there's another way. No, there's not. Salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. I can't save you. The Pope can't save you. No one else can save you but Jesus. He alone has the word of life and has the power of forgiveness. Receive Him. And you'll have made the best trade that you could ever make. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The next one is respond. The next step is to respond. You've received Jesus Christ. You need to respond then to a new lifestyle. The old has passed away, behold, everything else has become new. The life of sinfulness is done, the life of salvation and righteousness is what lies before. You have to change. You see, that's that part of that repentance thing. We're going to turn our back on sin and walk in the paths of righteousness. Walk where God directs us. Walk in faith with Jesus Christ. Make the decision, folks. Be faithful to God and be honorable to Him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. I'm going to tell you just as bluntly as I can. If your life has not changed since receiving Jesus Christ, you're not saved. Because you don't want to sully your soul with the evil of this world. If anyone's going to be my disciple, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know what? You can't take up your cross and follow him living in the same old slop you always lived in. Doesn't work that way. When you become a new creature, when you become a new creation, you are made new in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because his Holy Spirit has come to indwell you and to teach you and to lead you into deeper and deeper and deeper relationship with God. Respond to his new lifestyle. Get out of the sin business and follow the Savior. Then last, recite. Recite. If you will, simply means this: tell others. Witness. Testify. Tell people what God has done for you. Tell them of the change. You know, we try to make witnessing way too tough. And we try to excuse and hide under the rock of, well, I'm not very much of a public speaker. Oh, don't give me that. If you can talk about baseball, if you can talk about basketball, if you can talk about football, if you can talk about, better get the women in there. If you're going to talk about clothing, if you're going to talk about shoes, if you can talk about the neighbor, you can talk about Jesus. All right? That's witnessing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus said, if you will deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But I don't know all of the steps and all of the plan. God's not asking you to be an evangelist. He has equipped people for with the ministry of evangelism, with the spiritual gift of evangelism, but he's called us all to be witnesses. And as a witness, we just tell people what has happened in us. I know this. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was caught in sin. Now Jesus brought me salvation. This is not rocket science. It's simple sharing of what Jesus has done for you. Tell others. I want you to notice something. Look with me at the Gospel of John again, chapter 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. What an amazing example of someone who had decided to follow Jesus. Beginning with verse 27, Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 27, Jesus has just been speaking with the woman at the well. He has told her everything about herself, that kind of thing. And she's blown away by this. Now look at it, verse 27 on through verse 30. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why do you speak with her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. You deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Folks, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to tell someone. And you need to be willing to tell your friends, oh, I'm sorry, I don't go there anymore because I've received Jesus as my personal Savior. That would be a bad reflection on him. So I'm not going to visit the places I used to visit. I'm not going to do the things I used to do. because I want to be with Him forever. Tell someone. You want to make a trade? You want to have your life changed? You want to trade in all of the mess that you've made of things and get a new opportunity and a brand new start? You have that chance today. I'm going to ask you to please stand.